I don't want there to be any mistake about what the church is about. You see, God made the church. God made the earth and all that there is. And God is eternal. He's amazing. A couple of weeks ago, I talked with a child about that. We were talking about God and how big God is and how old God is and all that. We talked about God's house. And I did something I hadn't done in a while. I went and got a stack of sheets of paper, and I said, listen, I want to know how tall you think God's house is. And I said, are you familiar with a two-story house? There's not many of those around here. Have you noticed that? And so they knew what a two-story house was. I'm glad I didn't have to explain that. That's really tough to explain. And I said, well, let's pretend like God's house has lots of different floors. I want to see how big you think his house is. And so our plan was is I'm going to lay one piece of paper down here for the first floor of God's house. And I want you to start putting extra sheets of paper down for how many floors you think God's house is. And I sat there and I watched her pick up a sheet of paper very meticulously and walk over and lay it down. And then walk back over and pick up one more sheet of paper and walk over very meticulously and lay it down. And then she walked over and picked up another piece of paper and very meticulously walked over and put it down. And then she walked over and she got another piece of paper. And she walked over very meticulously, and she put it down. And then she walked over and got another piece. Do you see how this is going? And guys, all the way across Fellowship Hall, it took a while. Mom and Dad thought that that this was taking too much of my time. And I just said, no, calm down. It's okay. It's okay. And she went as far as she could until she had to stop right up against something. And she was sitting there thinking about what to do now. And I said, is it still bigger? And she said, mm-hmm. I said, I got the idea. Listen, everything starts with God. The writer to the book of Hebrews in the Bible says this: he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. That's the beginning of the message of the church, is that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. The prophet Isaiah revealed a startling truth. He said, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. He described it like this: all of us like sheep has gone astray. Each has turned to his own way. You see, God has a way and a plan. God has a plan for our life. In the Psalms, David wrote, I know the plans that I have for you. The plans. In Jeremiah, the same words. Jeremiah 29. I know the plans that I have for you. God has plans for you. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms that God thought of you and wrote down every day of your life in a book before there was as yet one of them. And then he created you perfectly to live that plan. Today, many people have not gotten in on the plan of God. You see, iniquity is a big word for something called sin. And sin is whenever we're not doing what God wants us to do. It's as simple as that. Now, Baptists are very independent people, and this is a Baptist church. And so if you're an independent person, raise your hand. I expect to see lots of hands. Uh-huh. All of you who didn't raise your hand, it's a sign of independence. You're not going to do what you were told. I learned that a long time ago. Yeah. And so take the number of hands you saw and double it. That's the independent people in this room. And when we go our own way, when we don't do what God wants us to do, that's sin. And sin separates us from God. In the New Testament, we'll learn that the wages of sin is death. Now listen carefully. If you die separated from God, then for all eternity, you will be separated from God. I've never met anybody who wants to go to hell and would prefer not to go to heaven. But if you die separated from God by your sins. You will not go to heaven. You will not see God's face. You will go to hell. And you will live in torment all of your life. That place is depicted with flames and all that. I think worse than the flames and worse than being down there with the devil and the demons and worse than all of the other people who are down there in the pain and anguish. I think the greatest thing is to know that you could have made a decision not to be there while you were alive. And you squandered it. And now for all eternity you'll never see God, and there's no way out of that. But while you're here on the earth, God wanted to provide a way for you. And so he sent Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to earth. Who Jesus is told in the Bible. Jesus is the word that God spoke back when he created everything and everything came into being. And the Bible tells us that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so Jesus is not just the Son of God, like he's some relative in the family who can be claimed as a deduction on their 1040. Amen? He's bigger than that. He's not just some person who's called the Son of God. He is God. He is the Word become flesh, and God sent Jesus to the earth to live a certain kind of life so that we could see what it looks like for a human being, even though he was a God human, but a human being to walk the earth and do what God wants. He wanted us to see that. But he also sent Jesus to provide a way. Jesus would say this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." The message of the New Testament is this. Number one, repent of sin. It means to stop doing what God doesn't want you to do and start doing what God does want you to do. We've got to turn away from sin and turn to Jesus. Repent means to live differently. But you can live differently and still not live with God in eternity. Because Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So you can live a good life and try and live it like God wants to. But if you never make the choice to follow Jesus and to trust Jesus, you're in trouble. You see, when Jesus was on earth, he not only lived this incredible life, but when the Bible says the wages of sin is death, someone had to die as the consequences of our sins. You see, if I don't choose to follow Jesus, not just fear of spiritual death, physical death, but spiritual death is what I get. That separation from God for all eternity. That's like being dead to God. That's what I'll get. That's what I deserve for my sins. Child after child that I talk to and walk through the 9 big ideas that we do, I ask him, this week, I got to walk through the gospel with a young man this week. Man, he nailed it. Amen? I can't wait to walk through the waters of baptism with him. But he nailed it. But I asked him, I said, okay, I'm the preacher. So do you think I've ever sinned? I mean, he didn't even flinch. He didn't even flinch. And then we use marbles to represent sin. And I've got this jar, and we hold it up and look at it and talk about how God intends us to be this jar with nothing in it, no sins in it and everything. And then I sit it down and say, let's pretend like this is Pastor Kevin. All these marbles are laying there. I want you to look at those marbles, each one being a time where we do something that wasn't what God wanted us to do. I want you to look at those marbles, and I want you to look at that jar, and I want you to think about how many times I have sinned, Pastor Kevin has sinned. I want you to pick up that many marbles and put them in the jar. It's humbling, guys. It's humbling. And pour them in. They know. And they know about you too. All of those sins we've got to get rid of. And if all those sins stay in my jar, and we talk about this, we talk about how heavy it is. And here's the truth of it. And I tell kids this. This is a little jar. And if I had one marble for every time that I had disobeyed God in my life, I'm going to be really honest with you. Do you see how big this room is? This room is insufficient to contain my collection of marbles. And I asked them to hold that jar and feel how heavy that jar is. And they're like, oh, that's heavy. And I said, yeah, what do you think it would be like to be underneath this whole room of marbles? And they get it. It would crush you to death. What Jesus came to do is he came to be punished for my sins and your sins. When the Bible tells the story of Jesus being hung on a wooden cross similar to this, nails driven through his hands, nails driven through his feet, and lifted up and left to hang there until he died. All of the agony that he went through, he could have stepped down off the cross. He had the power. He could have called legions of angels to come and nuke those Roman soldiers. Amen? Just like that. But he didn't. He voluntarily went to that cross because of my sins and because of your sins. Because he knew somebody had to be punished. And he would rather say to God, I want to be punished in their place so they can go to heaven. That's what Jesus came to do. And when Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but through me. What he's saying is, listen, I've already got the problem of your sins and your separation from God all solved. And I have it in this little box, all wrapped up with your name on it. And I'd like to give you what I've done for you so you can experience it in your life. And he holds it out to you. No one can offer you that gift but Jesus, because no one's got that but Jesus. And he holds it out to you. And he asks, will you receive it? When the Bible says to repent of our sins and believe in Jesus, that's what it's talking about. Will you take the gift that Jesus offers? This is why the church is here. I plead with you on behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God. The only way to do that is through Jesus Christ. You have to believe in him, that he really is the Jesus the Bible talks about. You have to repent of your sins and follow him. It's all about Jesus. If you want to know, is this really true? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead after he died on the cross would have been so easy early on for the people that hated Jesus to discount, except for one problem. There are few events that have as many witnesses as the resurrection. The resurrection is a historically indisputable fact by any means that you choose. It's real. And second, archaeology. You know, people digging up the remains of such civilizations gone by, living people, finding dead people, trying to learn about them and their lifestyle, and digging up records from the past in caves and mounds of rubble from years ago. Archaeologists, year by year by year by year, find more and more and more evidence. There is no single book on the earth that has been more scrutinized than the Bible and that has more real evidence for it being authentic and accurate than the Bible. This is true. If you didn't want Jesus to be who he was and didn't believe it, you've got to deal with the miracles. The miracles. Jesus would raise people from the dead. I did two funerals yesterday. I already mentioned that. It would have really rocked the boat of everybody there if Jesus had walked in like he did at a funeral at Nain, a little village in the Bible. And he walked up to the coffin and saw a mother crying because of losing her son and said, arise. And her son sat up alive. And Jesus turned water into wine. Three rivers would like to have that secret. And guys, he did all kinds of things. He healed illnesses. And if you didn't want Jesus to be who Jesus claims to be, all you have to do is discredit the miracles. But nobody could. Because when he made a blind man to see, everybody saw him. When he made a man lame from birth well, and the guy got up and took up his bed and went out, no one could dispute that something amazing had happened. Guys, the miracles are indisputable historical facts. And then there's the little problem of prophecy for people who don't believe in Jesus. That over and over and over in the Old Testament of the Bible, prophets told of things to come. And it's one thing to say that something is going to happen, but the test of a prophet is when it does. And prophecy after prophecy after prophecy about Jesus Christ came true. Just like that. And you got the resurrection. You got archaeology. You got all the miracles. You got all of prophecy that's indisputable. And the Jesus of the Bible. And Jesus of the Bible says, no one comes to the Father but through me. And so what our church wants to make sure you understand this morning is that if you've never received the gift of God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ, Jesus dying on a cross to pay the penalty for your sins so you don't have to. If you've never asked God to give you eternal life because Jesus made it possible, if you've never chosen to follow and obey and conform your life to the teaching of Jesus Christ, today is the day. Today is the day. You're in trouble if you don't. When we talk about being a Christian, we're not talking about being on a church roll. We don't baptize people into the church. We baptize people in obedience to Jesus Christ. There are some other groups that baptize people into the church. Now listen, you repent and believe into the church. That's how you become one of God's people. You follow Jesus. You follow Jesus. And it changes everything. It changes everything. I love asking children, what's changed since you decided to follow Jesus? It's probably one of the most telling questions of salvation really taking hold. Somebody really choosing to follow Jesus. And you know what? Some children can't. They can't even connect that. But what I found is some adults haven't connected that yet either. Listen, when you choose to follow Jesus Christ, your life changes. Your eternity changes. Everything changes. Every now and then, God lets me see again. He brings back to my memory where I was headed. Where I was headed as a young man and what I could be today if I had kept going that direction. Guys, I don't doubt. Very few people believe this about me, but I know the thoughts that I had in my mind. I knew some of the things that I did. I knew how crafty I was. And I may not seem like a criminal today, but guys, I would be in prison, probably on death row, for the horrid and awful things that I would have done to people if Jesus hadn't changed the direction of my life. And how that direction changed is I came to a point in my life where I chose to receive God's gift through Jesus of forgiveness of my sins, of eternal life. And I chose when I took that gift to follow Jesus. And here's what I meant then, and here's what I mean today. I committed everything I knew about my life to everything I knew about God, which was not much on either account. But I have kept that faithfully throughout the years. And today, I know a lot more about myself, and I know a lot more about God. But the same simple commitment holds true today. Guys, I love following Jesus, and it has redefined my life. And I am so thankful today that I don't have to have a prison guard punch a button so I can walk out of my bedroom. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that instead of ruining people's lives, one person after another, today I get to invest myself in the life of one person after another and watch their eternity change for the better. And so today I want to ask you. We're going to save this sermon for next week. It's really good. I want to ask you this. I want to ask you, have you made that choice? I don't know why God set this on my heart. That's why I got on and knelt just a few minutes ago and prayed while we were singing, because God was changing my plan. I think maybe it might be because God is working on somebody here today, and God wants to change your plan too. You may not have come in here, you know, with the thought of, I want to follow Jesus. I want to change the direction of my life. That may not have been what you were thinking. You may at some point have chosen to walk down the aisle in a church and never quite got what it was all about at some invitation time because of something a preacher said, and you've never quite gotten what it's all about, but God is stirring in your heart right now that you need to make things right with Him. And I plead with you, be reconciled to God. The reason for the Bible, the reason for the church, the reason for Jesus Christ is because God loves you. He made you to live in constant fellowship with Him. He made you to soar and live the life that He wrote down in a book before you were ever born. And the way to get a copy of that book and find out where you need to be and get on that page and start living that book is to trust and follow Jesus.